Broadcasting from the wine country in California, this is the Kick-Ass Relationship Show, where intimate secrets and modern advice for couples is shared to elevate your relationship to live sexier, happier, and have way more fun. We believe success in life is better when mixed with excitement and love. And now, here's your kick-ass relationship coach and best-selling author, Midori Verity.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Kick-Ass Relationship Show. We have an exciting show coming up today because everyone always wants to know about sex. Here is my question to you. Want to know how to re-spark the intimacy in your bedroom? Do you want to explore new fantasies, or do you wish your partner would just leave you alone? We'll be exploring these issues and getting guidance from our guest today, the sexologist, Dr. Megan Stubbs. I'm Midori Verity, the kick-ass marriage coach and your host. Each week, I bring you guest tips, inspiration, and fun to help you energize your relationship and your life. So we're going to kick off the show with my 3 minutes to thrive, where I give you a super ninja trick or tip, and I'm going to do it within 3 minutes. So today what we are going to be talking about are core values and how to find your why. So let me tell you why you should even care about what your core values are and what your why is and how it relates to your life and to your relationships. So do you ever feel like you're going through life, you know, maybe you have kids, maybe you don't, maybe you're looking for a career, maybe you're in your career and things just feel kind of out of sync, or you just aren't motivated. Like you wake up and you think about your job and you're just like, I don't feel like doing this. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm not satisfied. I'm not happy. And it's hard for you to stay on course. So it can be, even if you have your own company, things just don't feel aligned. Once you know what your core is and your why, the why is what makes you want to jump out of bed. It's your whole reason for being. It's what creates fulfillment in your life. That is your why. And it's really important to get clear on that, because once you do, happiness will become easier. It will just be part of who you are. It'll create peace within your mind and your soul and your body. And also, you will have greater success in more aspects of your life, including your relationship. So that's why this is so important. So let me give you an example of someone who is not living by their core values, something that you've seen before. Many of us know these uber successful, uber wealthy people. And you may be one of them who aren't fulfilled. They're constantly, you know, buying the bigger house, buying the nice car, going on trips, doing all kinds of things, but something's missing and they don't have that fulfillment. They seem unhappy. That is a person who is not living by their core values, probably meaning that their business doesn't align with what their soul wants, what their core wants, what their why is. So what's intrinsically important to them, it's not aligning. So the way that you find your core value, your why, is thinking about things that make, you know, in the past, that make your heart sing, that make you feel really good about yourself. You know, it could be your faith. It could be keeping your family in the forefront. It could be volunteering with at-risk kids or with elderly or with whoever. It can also be things such as gaining knowledge to solve world issues. Maybe you're a scientist and that's what your big intrinsic why is. Whatever it is that makes you feel good about yourself, that makes you feel fulfilled. So, you know, let's say it is your faith. You are extremely, you were raised religious and it's incredibly important to you. It may be hard to find a career that fits that, but that's okay. The way that you want to use this, the way that you want to use your core values and finding your why is by the way that you make your decisions. So when you have a choice of what kind of career you should go after, or what kind of financial moves you should make, or whether you should move or not, or whether you should do something more with your kids, whatever it is, when you understand your why and you're really clear on it, ask yourself when you're making these decisions, what feels best? What feels right in my gut? What does this align with my core values? If it doesn't, then you know your answer. You need to pivot. You need to find something different because it's not going to bring you happiness. If you're trying to find a new career or you are starting a new company, make sure it aligns with you. I went through this. I had a company for 15 years. It was doing well, but it was just totally out of sync with who I wanted to be. So I completely changed. Life's too short to maintain what you're doing if you're not happy. So that is my 3 minutes to thrive. And I hope that that brings you value. If you have questions, always email me, midori@midoriverity.com, or reach out to me on Facebook. And I promise to get back to you personally. But I don't want to wait any longer. Let's bring on our sexologist guest. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She holds degrees in human sexuality and biology. Her name is Dr. Megan Stubbs, and she is an energetic, multimedia savvy sexologist. She often hosts seminars, appears on television, speaks on radio, and writes for many online and print publications. She believes that sex should be fun and uses her lighthearted, intelligent, and humorous delivery to make it happen. So join me and welcoming Dr. Megan to the show. Hi, Dr. Megan.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm so excited to have you as our guest today because this is one of the biggest issues that my couples continually bring up to me is the issue revolving around sex. Either they're not having it anymore, or the one partner wants it more than the other, or you know, there's sexual dysfunction. There's so many issues revolving around this. So it's super, super important. So we're going to get into all kinds of questions with you, but I want to start off by asking you, what brought you to this career? What made you decide when you're going through school that you wanted to become a sexologist?
So when I was going through school, I always had a knack for science. I was really good at it. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to be a doctor, an MD doctor. So I, you know, did really well in school. I went to a really good science school for undergraduate studies. And then when it came time for chemistry, I actually did really badly in chemistry. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen with my life? Because in order to be an MD doctor, you need to have a lot of chemistry. So I just decided to get out with a plain biology degree. I said I'd figure it out later. And then one day I was like constantly like reading Cosmo and I said, oh my gosh, sexologist, studying the thing? So I Googled sexologist and I went to one of the few graduate schools in the country that offered graduate degrees in sexology and here I am today.
Wow. Okay. So I'm assuming sexology majors do not need to take a lot of chemistry. So that's good to know. Good to put in our pocket just so we know.
Handy.
Okay, but so what, why, I mean, I know that it fit with where you, academically, you did better, but was there ever a struggle with you deciding on whether you should become a sexologist or what was your big, you just heard me talk about your core values. So what was, you know, was there something in, that called you to becoming a sexologist? Did you, was there something innate within you? That's kind of what I'm asking.
I was always that curious little girl. I mean, from my first book on, like, changing bodies in puberty, I was your go-to friend for, you know, what's blowjobbing and, like, oh, my gosh, I'm growing hair in these places. What's happening? So I was always fascinated with the body, and I just had a real passion for it. And so I just think inadvertently I discovered my own destiny by the universe saying, hey, MD doctor's not for you. So I think it was just really good fortune that I found sexology because I am passionate about understanding bodies and making people feel okay with who they are and their desires and, you know, helping them understand what's going on with their bodies and feelings. So I just think it's a real calling for me, you know.
Got it.
No path to the distance, a straight line. I mean, I've taken curves and ups and downs, so I found my way eventually.
All of us, yeah. It's never a straight line, but that's what makes us more interesting, right? So what's one of the most common questions that you hear from your clients?
They just want to know, am I normal? I like blank. Is that okay? We're having sex 3 times a week. Is that normal? And it just boils down to what's normal for you. We can cite statistics and, you know, averages and say, you know, what's normative, but there's really no normal. I mean, I've had couples say, we're having sex once a month. Is that okay? And I ask, is that okay with you? Like, that could be your normal. Another couple, they could be having sex once a week, and that's their normal. Or, you know, once every 2 weeks. It just depends on what your normal is. But I think there's just such a concern for people who just want to make sure they're not weird. And I just think there's a big stigma around sexuality because we're supposed to, we think that we're supposed to be a certain way, and we want to make sure we fall within those lines.
Right. And that's so interesting because next week I'm having an ex dominatrix on my show. So to hear you say, people just, it'll be a lot of fun. To hear you say that people just want to know that they're normal, and you made it so simple the way that you said it. Does it feel normal to you? And that's really what it comes down to, right? It's whatever feels okay with you.
Absolutely. As long as it's consensual and you're not hurting anyone, go ahead and do it.
There you go. There you go. So, okay. So I have to ask you this. A lot of my clients, you know, most of my clients have been together for a while and things get a little stale, which you can imagine, you know, after you've been with someone for a long time, you know, there's not a lot of new things. So clients ask me about sex toys. Usually it's one of the partners who is intrigued by it. What are some ways, or do you have suggestions on ways that people can introduce sex toys into their relationship and not feel totally weirded out?
For sure. I mean, definitely communication is key in so many aspects of life, but especially in relationships and sexuality. Just ask them. In a neutral location, don't suddenly you're going to bed and you're going to start hooking up, say, hey, I brought this toy, ready? And then you just kind of like, you know, stalk your partner. Oh, okay, I guess. Bring it up in a neutral location. So in a car ride or, you know, over breakfast or while you're shopping for groceries. And you can even bring it up as something innocuous, like, oh, hey, I read this magazine article and they were featuring this toy. You know, what do you think about it? Or would you ever consider using it? And that way you're not putting pressure on your partner for them to say, oh, okay, I guess we're in bed now and you pulled it out. I guess we kind of have to do it now. You're giving them space to say, oh, okay, let me think about this. Or like, yeah, that sounds great. And if they say, oh, no, I would never do that, you say, oh, good, just kidding. I was just asking.
Totally agree with you.
Yeah.
But I think also just kind of bringing it out, I wouldn't probably bring out something that is, you know, something crazy in the very beginning. You want to build up, but I think it can create a lot of anticipation. Just like you said, don't like all of a sudden bring it out from under your pillow when you're going to bed. But I think when you have that conversation or conversations, that it creates an anticipation of excitement. Don't you think?
If your partner, they're not into something super extreme, don't bring something super extreme on them. Definitely, there's a progression of things. I'm not going to say, you know, you need to do X, Y, and Z, but you know your partner. If they're not going to be ready for, you know, hanging from the chandeliers with candles and, you know, someone watching and videotaping from the corner, maybe start a little slower. You know, you know right. Your partner, so don't go wild.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So what about, you know, sometimes clients get excited, they're in the heat of the moment and things are building up. Maybe they've already done the sex toys and they've been together for a long time and they're just wanting to explore, and maybe they have fantasies that they talk about when they're in the heat of the moment, which could include bringing in another person, doing a threesome or swinging or doing something like that. Talk to us about that. Do you think that that's, you know, what are your thoughts on having another person come into the sexual relationship?
That definitely needs to happen over a series of conversations. I think that adding another human is way different than saying, I want to add a toy. But definitely bring it up with your partner and talk about not only this person joining, talk about the rules you'd like to set up. You know, if this person does decide to join you, you know, what are you going to do for safety? Are there any off-limits activities? Are they spending the night? Are they coming to your house? Are you going to a hotel? There's all these logistical things you need to work out even before you think about finding a third person to add to your relationship. So make sure you have many conversations and think it out and talk with your partner. Make sure that it's, again, in a neutral location where you can both, you know, feel safe to express what you're feeling. And in some cases, it doesn't hurt to write it down.
Write down the rules and write down kind of what the parameters are. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Your expectations, okay. What you're looking for, what you both agree on.
Okay. And then, so, you know, you're a doctor, you know, studies. What do you ever see couples who've been together for a while and then they become swingers or they bring in another person into the relationship? What are some of the problems that can happen once they do it, even though they've done all the conversations and it seems like a great idea, they're both on board, but then they get into that lifestyle and maybe things don't work out the way that they had anticipated. Talk to us a little bit about that.
For sure. That can totally happen. You know, jealousy definitely comes into play when you're adding in a third person to your relationship. Communication, you know, there could be a breakdown somewhere, or maybe you agree on everything and you get into the, you know, the heat of the moment and then suddenly you're not into it anymore. You know, you need to have an escape route with your partner. Like you say your safe word, you give them a look, and ideally your relationship should be where you say the safe word or you give them the look, everything just stops, because at the end of the day, home base is your relationship. So that should be your main concern. But, I mean, things will happen. Things can come up in any kind of relationship, whether it's monogamous and closed or open and swinging. It's just that communicating is the key before any major breakdown starts to happen.
Yeah. Communicate. It always comes back to communication, doesn't it? For everything in your relationship. But
for sure.
Yeah. No, that's good to know. So we have an audience question. So let me tell you what this is. It is from Gary, who asks, I'm so tired of my wife giving me excuses for why we can't have sex. I love her, but I'm feeling rejected and don't know what to do. What do you have any feedback for Gary? Any suggestions?
I think Gary's not alone. I think that's a concern a lot of partners have with their other partner. You know, again, talk to them, ask them what's going on in their life. Maybe they're not mentally there. Maybe work is just really taxing. Maybe they're not feeling well. There's something, you know, going on. So just try and understand what that is. Maybe there's, a health issue going on. Make sure that your partner feels like they can be heard without any sort of fear of repercussions. And again, Gary, you know, you can be your own best lover too.
There you go.
Our partners solely be the ones to please us. You know, he can do some self-loving exploration too. And sex drives ebb and flow in relationships. It's not going to be, you know, pedal to the metal all the time. It can, you know, speed up. It can slow down. If this is like a long extended period of time, I would definitely say, hey, we need to talk. Something's going on. But if this is the occasional, you know, I'm just not into it tonight, say, okay, that's fine. I'll take care of me. But just communicate with your partner and say, okay, hey, I, you know, being with you, what can we do to rectify this? How can I help you, you know, feel better and be in the mood?
So from what I've, you know, from the work that I've done, I've noticed that men and women have much different mindset behind sex. So women go after sex for a certain reason and men have something else. So I think when I'm reading his question, that he feels rejected. Can you tell us a little bit of the psychology there for men?
I think where those feelings come from in men is that they should it's masculine to be wanted. It's, you know, a reflection of him as a person by not being wanted by his partner. But I would challenge him to question that mindset, because not necessarily is she rejecting you or is she rejecting the act of sex. You really can't take that personally unless she's literally like, you repulse me, Gary, like, we're not doing it. You know, take time for a little introspection that, you know, your self-worth isn't contingent upon what your partner thinks of you. You know, you're still a good person, too. So I'd challenge him to look at things a different way, too.
Right, right. Yeah, it's interesting because I have couples that come to me. I've had couples who have come to me who haven't had sex in 15 years. Obviously, there's some big issues going on there. And then I have couples, a lot of couples who come to me and they haven't had sex in a number of months. And so, you know, these feelings of rejection and, or it can be from the women too. It might be that the man isn't wanting sex for whatever reason and the wife feels rejected or like something's wrong with her, but it comes down to just like what you said, it comes down to the communication. You got to keep those doors open and talk about those things that might be a little uncomfortable. You're in a marriage. You have to talk about them to get them revealed so you can work on them.
Absolutely. Because no one's a mind.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because no one's a mind reader.
Good point. Yes. Yeah, often we feel like, oh, they should understand what I'm thinking, but they don't. They don't. Right. So it is important to reveal that. And don't expect them to be mind readers, and don't be a mind reader yourself. We've talked about that before. Okay, so we're going to go into a quick little break. And then when we come back, we are going to be getting three tips from Dr. Megan about how to spark back that intimacy in your relationship. Stay with us.
Hey. This is me, Dory, and I want to express how grateful I am for you joining me on my show. And for this, I have a very special gift for you that I am super excited to tell you about. It's a tool, and it's a tool that I have for those of you who are in a relationship and may be feeling frustration and anxiety revolving around this partnership, like all of us do at some point, right? But it doesn't have to stay this way. The tool I'm talking about is my Energized Relationship Quiz. All you do is you simply answer six super simple questions, enter your email, and then my custom diagnosis will pop up and reveal the relationship issue. After that, it'll give you the tools to change your situation starting today, right away, right now. So stop arguing over the same things. Get your relationship back to that healthy and happy place you want it. And love being with your partner again. Yes, it can happen. Here's the coolest part. It's free. And like I said earlier, it's only six super easy questions. So all you have to do is go to my Facebook page, which is the @MeDoryVerity, and type quiz in my messenger. And it'll take you right to the quiz. If you have questions, simply ask me on Messenger and I'll personally answer. In fact, I would love to hear your feedback. So once again, just go to my Facebook page, which is the @MeDoryVerity, and type quiz in my messenger. That's it. I look forward to connecting with you.
Blue jean baby, LA lady. Seems just for the band. Ballerina, you must have seen her all dancing in the sand. Now she's with me. Always.
Oh my goodness, he did it!
Tiny dancer in my head.
Woo!
Oh, I would feel so real lying here with no one near, only you. And you can't hear me when I say sorry. Slowly, yeah.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you guys like that song. That was Nolan Neal from The Voice. He was one of the contestants, and I think he may be on our show in a couple of weeks. So I wanted to just play a little of his music because I love it so much. So we are here with Dr. Megan, and we are talking all about sex. And during our break, she brought up a good point. She brought up how people are so, she said not even like buying a book, but they're in such denial that they are so, that they won't go and seek the help that they need, that they're just actually denying that they may even need help in the relationship with sex. I also notice it with just overall relationships. So Megan, let's talk about that a little bit really quick before we jump into our three tips for our listeners. You know, people are embarrassed of certain things and they want to not let anyone know they have any problems, right?
Absolutely. I had a professor once tell me people will spend more time and money to fix their toilet than they will their relationship or sex life. And of course, I thought that was hilarious. But then I was like, oh, no, that's actually serious.
It's true. Yeah. And so I want you all who are listening to kind of remember that I hear it all the time. These couples who end up divorced because they never dealt with the big issues of their relationship. And the beauty of it is you can seek out someone like Dr. Megan, who specializes in sex, and she's heard it all. There's nothing that's embarrassing to her. She knows the answers. I am all about relationships. I work with relationships. I've been with the same guy for 30 years. I've heard it all. I've seen it all. And we have answers and we can easily give you tools to help you. So that's why, you know, there's just so much out there. Don't ignore it. Be aware of it, acknowledge it, and then deal with it. And I promise you will end up being happier and your relationship will be so much more successful. So let's jump in, everyone. Let's jump into our three tips for our listeners to help them bring intimacy back to the relationship. So Dr. Megan, what can you offer to our listeners? How do you do that? You know, because when you're with someone for a long time, sometimes you just get busy and it just kind of just seems to fade away. How can we re-spark that interest?
Absolutely. So this might seem counterintuitive, but go away. Create some distance with your partner. So if you're together, you know, day in and day out, you have a routine, you know what's going on. When you create some distance, you not only get to do things for yourself, so whatever, you know, you want to do, you don't have to worry about your partner, but you create a sense of longing, because how can anyone miss you if you're not gone? So, you know, say you're on a business trip, you get to, you know, text your partner like old school, or maybe that's like, you know, write a letter or something. But you create anticipation of them seeing you again. And so that makes you really value the time you do have together. So I think distance is a really good tip.
That's a good one. Okay, so create distance from the heart. What's that saying? Something makes a heart grow fonder.
Absence
makes a heart grow fonder. So that's still true today. Okay, and then what's a second tip?
Go on date night. Make a date night happen. It's so important to get out of your house. This is kind of like with distance too, but get out of your house, get out of your environment. I read a study that women truly can't disconnect when they're in their home because they're thinking, you know, about five different things. Oh, the laundry needs to be switched over. Did I start the dishwasher? Oh my gosh, I've got to, you know, pack lunches for the soccer tournament this weekend. When they're in that environment, they can really have a difficult time separating, you know, wife, mom, you know, caretaker life from sexy partner's time. So if you just go on a date night where you're not responsible for cooking, doing the dishes, or anything like that, you can really help create a different kind of mindset in your relationship.
I think that's so key to a long-term relationship. In fact, I always tell my clients, go on sexcations. I call them sexcations, you know, where you go, it can be just overnight, just one night. Find that babysitter that you totally trust and get the hell out. Go, you know, with that intention of connecting and being sexy together and wearing something that maybe you don't wear to bed on a regular basis and get away from the kids. But I think that that's so important. I'm so glad that you brought that up because, you know, once you have kids, especially, you're thinking, oh my God, are they going to hear us? And if they walk in, that's then what?
Anxiety.
Okay, great. And then what about the third tip?
Is share your fantasies. Share your fantasies with your partner. You know, talk about doing something new. If your go-to is like missionary, in the dark, on Wednesdays, every other month, change it up.
I like that. Okay, so do you have like, so, you know, some people come from an extremely conservative religious background or they're raised learning certain things that are appropriate or not appropriate for sex. So if someone's kind of struggling with that in their, you know, in their gut, feeling like, gosh, I would really like to experience what it's like to use toys, but, you know, the little monkey chatter in the back of their mind is that, oh, but that's so not okay. That's so against the norm, like you brought up earlier. Are there any ways that people can kind of change their mindset and find some peace or acceptance to be able to do that? Do you have any suggestions on that?
I see there's a lot of shame around like self-pleasure and then using sex toys or having a partner feel like they're less because the other partner needs a sex toy or experiences better sexual pleasure with a sex toy. And I just tell this person, you know, is it okay in your mind that you're just seeking out pleasure by any means? Like, you're not hurting anyone if you're using a sex toy or if your partner needs a sex toy. So maybe, you know, you're a male and you have a female partner who needs a toy for clitoral stimulation. Over 70% of women need clitoral stimulation to reach orgasm. Can you be okay with that, with your partner reaching satisfaction like that with the means of a toy? Nothing against you. It's just she needs that. Is that okay in your mind? You know, so just do some deep reflection.
Yeah, I think that that's a really good point. And I think it's also brings up the point of trust in the relationship. When you can work through something in your relationship that you weren't comfortable with before, but you are seeking it out, but you can work through it with your partner and come up with something that does feel okay, and you trust your partner to make it something that feels like, okay, this isn't bad. This is okay for us to do it. It creates a stronger connection in your relationship. And it makes it easier to take further steps so that you can explore some of these more more exciting ways of being together. So, you know, it can be whether it's with your sexual relationship or anything really, but it really, just by pushing yourself outside of that norm and bringing up things that maybe weren't comfortable at some point and working through it with your partner, it does create a stronger foundation and a stronger connection and more trust, which is so important in a long-term relationship.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think feeling safe and secure is often an attribute we never really say we want in a relationship. We want, like, you know, a funny guy, a nice guy, he's nice to me, who loves me, you know, great in bed. Makes me feel safe. I think that's a super important component of relationships that we probably kind of gloss over or just think, oh yeah, that's expected. But a lot of times people don't feel safe in their relationship. So when you do have that safety and trust, you have a good setup going on.
Yeah. And often it takes a little while to build that up. So that is why I always talk about long-term relationships and building it up. And that's why we have Dr. Megan on the show with us, because everything that she's bringing up and all the things that we're discussing are so important to creating that long-term relationship. So we are going to go to a quick break, and then we are going to come back and we are going to be playing some games and getting to know Dr. Megan on another level. So come on back in just a few minutes.
Hey, this is me, Dory, and I want to express how grateful I am for you joining me on my show. And for this, I have a very special gift for you that I am super excited to tell you about. It's a tool. And it's a tool that I have for those of you who are in a relationship and maybe feeling frustration and anxiety revolving around this partnership, like all of us do at some point, right? But it doesn't have to stay this way. The tool I'm talking about is my Energized Relationship Quiz. all you do is you simply answer 6 super simple questions, enter your email, and then my custom diagnosis will pop up and reveal the relationship issue. After that, it'll give you the tools to change your situation starting today, right away, right now. So stop arguing over the same things. Get your relationship back to that healthy and happy place you want it. And love being with your partner again. Yes, it can happen. Here's the coolest part. It's free. And like I said earlier, it's only 6 super easy questions. So all you have to do is go to my Facebook page, which is the @MidoriVerity, and type quiz in my messenger, and it'll take you right to the quiz. If you have questions, simply ask me on Messenger and I'll personally answer. In fact, I would love to hear your feedback. So once again, just go to my Facebook page, which is the @MidoriVerity, and type quiz in my messenger. That's it. I look forward to connecting with you.
Come and move that in my direction. So thankful for that, it's such a blessing, yeah. Turn every situation into heaven, yeah. Oh, you are my sunrise on the darkest day. Got me feeling some kind of way. Make me wanna savor every moment. Slowly, slowly. You fit me, tailor made, love how you put it on. Got the only key, know how to turn it on. The way you nibble on my ear, the only words I wanna hear. Baby, take it slow so we can last long.
Tú eres el imán y yo soy el metal. Me voy acercando y voy armando el plan. Solo con pensarlo se acelera el pulso.
Oh yeah. Ya me está gustando más de lo normal. Todos mis sentidos van pidiendo más. Esto hay que tomarlo sin ningún.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. We are here with the amazing sexologist, Dr. Megan Stubbs, and we are about to play a little sex trivia. So, Megan, are you ready for this?
I am. I hope.
Okay. You are. This will be fun. I had fun looking up these questions and then elaborating a little bit on them. So, we're going to go through these really quick and you just do your best. And those of you listening at home, you can play along. You can guess as well. Okay. So question number one, 30% of women have done it, but okay. Let me start over. 30% of women have done it, but only 10% do it regularly. A, floss their teeth. B, do a strip tease for their partner, or C, have multiple orgasms.
Ooh, I'm going to go with strip tease.
You know what? That was a good guess because I added that in there, but the truth is they having multiple orgasms. So 30% of women have had a multiple orgasm, but only 10% on a regular basis. So that's
interesting.
Yeah, a little trivia for all of our audience to go home and talk about. Okay, number two. Every day, 2,700 Americans find out that they have what disease? A, mad cow disease, B, gonorrhea, or C, crabs? This one's kind of tricky.
I'm going to say, I don't know.
It's a hard one. It's gonorrhea. 27% of Americans find out every day that they have gonorrhea. I'm not even sure what that even looks like or what exactly gonorrhea is, but yeah, it's not good. You don't want that, but I guess, yeah. You know, it's treatable.
Call gonorrhea, though, it's more like an
say
infection.
It again.
I'd call gonorrhea an infection as opposed to a disease. That's what threw me.
Okay. It's an infection. So it's treatable with like antibiotics.
Yeah.
So that's what threw you off. I think I'm going to change that question, but that's the way it read. But I think you're right. It's more of an infection. Mm-hmm. I have someone who I remember talking to them once and they had crabs and that doesn't sound pleasant either. So anyway, this takes us to our third question. What did Socrates, Aristotle, and Janis Joplin have in common. Number one, they loved carbs. B, hallucinogen was the reason why they were so creative. Or C, they were bisexuals. Do you even know? You might be too young to know who Janis Joplin is.
I kind of know the name.
She was in the 60s. This might help you with your answer a little bit. She was in the 60s and was very, she died from a drug overdose. But I think back then, this is like the beginning, the dawn of sexual openness. And I mean, I was surprised by this answer.
Bisexual.
Yeah. Yeah. Who would have thought? Socrates, you know, these big thinkers of all time, Socrates, Aristotle, and Janis Joplin, all bisexuals. Who knew?
Interesting. Okay.
Isn't it interesting? Yeah. I think probably maybe they used hallucinogens too. I don't know, but I made that part up. So who knows? Okay. Fourth question. What percentage of men in relationships always have an orgasm during sex? A, 55%, B, 75%, or C, 95%? This is another one I was surprised by. What was it?
Oh, 75%, the second answer.
Yeah, you're correct. Only 75%. I thought it would be 95, but I was wrong.
Yeah. Well, when you say every time, that makes me think like, no, that's a specific answer. Not every time.
Yeah. I mean, because the word sex can mean so many different things, right? So I think when we look at the question a little bit closer, 75% probably does make more sense. Okay, so this question, I had to read this. So listen to the words really well because this one I got wrong. So number five, who daydreams more while having sex, men or women?
Women.
That's right. So so you listen to it. Women fantasize more than men during sex. We're not talking about all day long, because we all know that men are constantly thinking about sex, but women actually fantasize more about it during sex. So I agree with that. I totally believe that. Okay. Number six. And this was kind of surprising to me as well. The bigger a guy's foot is, the bigger his penis is. Is that true or false?
False.
Yeah, you're right. It is impossible to tell the size of a man's penis by the size of his hands or feet. Until yesterday when I was looking up these questions, I did not realize that. But now I have been educated and I know more. So those are all very important questions to know.
Yeah, who would have thought? Right.
Yeah. Okay. So now, Dr. Megan, we are going to get to know a little bit more about you personally. And my first question is, do you have a favorite book or a book that you're reading right now that you want to share with our audience?
Ooh, a book that was really surprising to me that I didn't think I'd like as much, but I really actually like is Modern Romance by Aziz Ansari.
I haven't heard of that.
Oh my God, so good. He's a comedian. So I was like, this should be a funny book. But he actually partnered with a bunch of researchers and did a really long study about relationships and how we date. And it was really insightful. And it was just written. And it's really well done. I've actually read it twice now. I even bought it on hard copy. That's how hardcore I like this book right now.
You're kidding. Okay, tell me the name again so I can put it into your bio for our clients, for our listeners.
Modern Romance.
Modern Romance. And who's it by?
Aziz. A-Z-I-Z. I'm sorry. And I'm pretty sure that's A-N-S.
I'll look it up.
Okay.
I know who that is, though. And I love him. I think he is so funny and he's so cute. But Modern Romance, you guys heard it here. Okay. What is the most challenging moment that you can remember and how did you overcome it? Or what did you learn from it?
Oh, I try to block this out.
Oh.
I was in a class at a adult store, and I got there, and nothing was set up. I was like, are you kidding me? the class starts in like 45 minutes. What's going on? There were no chairs. The audio visual equipment I was promised was not there. They were literally like, oh, no, they're at Best Buy right now buying the TV. And I was like, what? Anyway, the TV came. Then there was issues with the manager's laptop, and they had gone home, which, of course, is what you do when you have an event at your store. The password, it needed a password, and we couldn't call them. It was a nightmare. Then once I got into the laptop, it didn't have the right kind. It didn't have Microsoft Office, so I couldn't do my PowerPoint. And I'm sweating. I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I was told all of this was, like, taken care of. I was ready to walk in, plug in my flash drive. Let's go. Fast forward.
Okay, so, yeah. That's what I want to hear. I mean, that just sounds like the worst nightmare, like the things that you dream about that you hope never, ever happen. Okay, so tell us the next part.
It's maybe like 10 minutes after the class is supposed to start. Women are staring at me, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, just forget it. Forget the technology. Incidentally, there were like, it was a semi-private area, so there were glass window panes separating the room from the rest of the store. And I was like, do you have whiteboard markers? And they're like, yeah. And I said, okay, forget the technology. So I drew out everything that I was talking about. I drew out penises. I drew out the sexual response cycle. I drew out the clitoris with its internal structures and everything. And, oh, my gosh. I mean, I made it work. And the women were so great. They were like, this was so informative. And I was like, oh my God, like I had so much more planned for you, but like, this is the best I could do. And they were like, no, no, we still learned a ton. And I just made it happen. And so, you know, what do you do when your technology goes down? Luckily I had dildos in my vulva puppet too, but you know, you just have to roll with it.
Oh my gosh. For those of us who speak professionally, that is like the worst nightmare is the technology part, but you have to be prepared for it. And you were, you just kind of, you were able to think fast and come up with plan B, and it sounds like plan C, but oh my gosh, what a nightmare that they didn't have anything set up, but
I know.
Good for you.
Like, thank goodness that oral sex isn't really that technical and it's mostly visual stuff.
That's good. That's a good reason to pick that career. Okay. So the next question is if you were magic, if you had a magic wand, what would you wish for the world? What's the one, if you could wish only one wish, what would it be?
Ooh, I don't want to be like Miss Congeniality, but like just peace on earth. Like
yeah.
I wish everyone be happy where they're at in life. And let everyone else live their life as long as it's not hurting anyone else. Like just peace on people. I would love that.
I like that. And I think it brings us back to what we've kind of, what's become the theme of the whole show is if you're not hurting someone else, then it's okay. Then it's okay. It's normal for you. As long as it's not hurting anyone else, then don't worry about it. And I like that. I think that is something that we should all keep in mind. So I appreciate that. You have been a wonderful guest and we have come out with so many just little great tips to put into our little mental toolboxes to help us in our sex lives. So I appreciate that. And then I understand that you have a very unique offer for our listeners. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Thank you again for having me on the show. This has been so great. You've asked awesome questions. And
thank
I mean,
you.
I really applaud you for bringing this sometimes uncomfortable topic to the forefront. Like this is important to talk about. So thank you for all the work you're doing.
Thank you. No, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. So the offer I'm offering is I'm booking my college speaking tour for this fall and spring. So if you listening have any college students who, you know, go to college or maybe you are a campus activities director or you know someone who is a director and they're looking to book talent for their campus, I'm offering $250 off my speaking fee if you book me within the next, I think I said, 2 weeks from the show. To come to your campus. I would love to spread the word on, lighthearted topics such as oral sex or orgasms. But I also cover important things, too, like Title IX and consent, healthy relationships and communication. So, oh, and positive body image. That's my like new super favorite.
Oh, that's a good one. I have a son who's in college right now, and Title IX is a big fat issue. And I think to be able to listen to someone who, I mean, you look really young. I don't know how old you are, but you look very youthful. But to have someone at their college campus who they can relate with, I think is very valuable. So anyone who's in that realm or knows someone in that realm, I encourage you to take part in that, because I believe that Dr. Megan will make a big impact and these kids will listen to her. And these are important issues to bring up. So thank you for that offer. That is awesome.
Events are open to the public too, so maybe you would like to see this brought to your community, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, thanks again for being on the show, and next week, you guys, you've got to come back. We are having an ex-dominatrix come on to our show. Her name is Dana, and she now coaches people. She uses everything that she learned from being a dominatrix to help you be successful in your life. So you don't have to be a sexual dominatrix, but you can use the concepts to help you advance in your life and build up confidence and a new approach to the world. So I encourage you to come on back. Thank you for being with us. And as always, remember the gratitude attitude. Remember to tell those that you love and care about at least one thing every single day that you appreciate about them, and your life and your relationship will start to shine. All right. Thanks for being here with me, you guys. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Kick-Ass Relationship Show with Midori Verity. We hope you've enjoyed the show and want to share the love by passing on our web address, midoriverity.com/show, to your friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out our archive section on our website for previous shows. This has been a Midori Verity International production. Join us next time on the Kick-Ass Relationship Show to add passion and fun to enjoy the most extraordinary relationship and life.